This is Brian Nickel, and welcome to this episode of AEC Perspectives. In our last episode, we started talking with RSNH's thought leader and vice president, Tom Everett, about leadership and the characteristics that make a strong leader. We had so much to talk about, so we're continuing our discussion with Tom today. Let's dive in. You've given some incredible advice, and I want to think about that very first opportunity for a leader. It could be at any level where they're going into a new leadership position. What's some advice that you would give someone as they're starting out in that leadership role?
Yeah, with the leaders at every level, kind of building on that philosophy. You know, you're a leader when you start your career. It's just you may have a smaller toolbox than others. But I'd go back to that model and say, examine your toolbox and start identifying where you need to add tools or refresh or polish your existing tools. All right. I think I said this before, but don't ever assume you know it all. You've got what it takes. You're ready. You're not. I'll tell you right now, you're not. You're kidding yourself. Always think there's more to learn. Identify what those areas are and start to work on them. That's a first piece of advice I would give. But I'd also not overdo it, right? People who selected you for that position have confidence in you. They've looked at your skills. They've interviewed you. They've looked at your resume. So you need to have some confidence in yourself. Self-confidence is important, but it's also one of those things you got to balance. You don't want to overdo it. So you also have to be real with yourself and say, look, I've got some weak areas. I admit it, for me, it was making sure I'm being inclusive and then keeping an open mind and not getting stuck in ways of doing things for forever. And that's why we do them. Just identify what they are, work on ways to improve those. And the perfect time to do that is when you start your career or just are getting into leadership. The other thing I would say is identify some trusted colleagues. I'd be curious, Brian, if you had a similar experience as I did, but I found that I can count on one hand what I'm referring to as trusted colleagues, but there were people who, it didn't matter what the subject was or how difficult, or even maybe, I wouldn't say confidential, but you know, someone that you knew you could go to and you could share the challenge you're facing and just have an honest conversation with them about their ideas on how you might handle it. Or even if you tell them what you're thinking and they look for a blind spot, have them look for a blind spot and say, I'm not sure I'd do that because of X, Y, or Z. But starting early to identify and build those trusted colleagues, I think, is something else that's really important.
Yeah, I look at trusted colleagues or this notion of not being alone, right? That you're not in this. And many times you can be in a leadership position and you feel like you're isolated. And the moment you feel that isolation, you have to step out of it, because it is lonely at the top, as they say. Whatever that leadership position is, there are those times where you think, am I it? Am I the only one encountering this? And it's at that moment that I realize that I have to reach out to someone else. I have to call up a trusted colleague and say, am I looking at this the right way? Am I approaching this? Is there another view? Is there another strategy? Is there something I'm missing? And I find those conversations take me out of that lonely at the top feeling when you're like, it's just me sitting here. And yet you talk to someone and they say, oh, yeah, take a look at it from this perspective. Or how about this idea? And you can take that kind of feedback, that kind of very open, transparent, and it's very vulnerable to do that. But it's absolutely the right thing to do to grow as a leader, to experience not alone, but rather with those colleagues that you
Great
trust.
point. Great point. And looking at the opposite, somebody that gets into a leadership position and that has the title to it and thinks that they have all the answers, right? That's, to me, that is, I get passionate about it. That is not leadership. That whatever the
Right.
direct opposite is of leadership, that's it. Right? It's
Right.
just I'm so passionate about not thinking you have all the answers and you know it all, that's you should work hard to avoid putting people in positions with the title leader that think that way and act that way.
And in fact, as you look at that notion of you've got this leadership title, and if you have no tools, then you're not a leader.
Absolutely.
You are set up for some very tough times. And I look at leadership in the same light that you do, that it's there are titles that become bestowed, as you go through your career. But if you're not learning along the way, then and if you're not carrying those tools that are unique to you, and you have to sharpen them from
That's
time to
right.
time, and it's not always. Sometimes you're like, "Well, I haven't used that one for a while, and I need to pull that out and really focus on it." And so I think there's some times too where as you go through your leadership journey, that you have these every day moments to learn where you and it never stops.
Never
It
stops.
you've been doing this for 40 years in your career. I'm approaching 36 years, and I still learn all the
Every
time.
day.
And I think, how did I get by without doing
Every
that?
day. Yeah, you never stop learning and developing those skills.
So we've had some time to talk about leadership characteristics, leadership challenges. We've discussed some of your sweet seven and plus one, Tom. I want to turn your attention to a really important subject for leaders, whether you're in the private sector, whether you're in the public sector. It's an important community issue. It's an important personal issue, and that is mental health. Mental health has received a focus that I think is critically important, because mental health doesn't stop at home. It doesn't stop at the office door when you walk in. Your mental health is absolutely critical, and the mental health of your people and your colleagues that you work with is critical as well. Why should mental health be a priority for you in a leadership position? What do you think about that?
So let me just start by saying mental health. It's interesting because we're all dealing with workforce issues right now. Again, whether you're government, private sector, nonprofit, just finding qualified workers is a challenge. And I can say that mental health is an important topic for people we're trying to hire. The people coming into our workforce earlier in their careers expect to see support for mental health programs. And so one, I mean, really obvious answer to why should it be a priority for a leader, it's right there. We're looking to recruit, we're looking for workers, but that's not what motivates me. What motivates me about this topic is that I really believe we've got a bit of a hidden epidemic right now in our impacting our workforce more than ever. And there's just so many things happening inside and outside of our workplace that in the best case, employees are distracted. But in the most extreme cases, they're threatening to either harm themselves or harm others. And this is just based on my opinion because I don't have any scientific studies that I'm going to quote or point to, but I do have personal experiences. both in and out of the workplace that kind of fuel my fire for this topic. And the other thing is, as I have shared my experiences with colleagues, it's a lot like that leadership moment that we talked about earlier. Everybody has a story. It's not, it was shocking to me at first because I was reluctant to tell my story and share some of the experiences I had because of the stigma that surrounds the topic. But then once I did, just blew me away with how many people. And I don't think I could name a single person that I talked to that didn't have another story. It's huge. It's an issue. It's real. If you don't believe it, you're kidding yourself, but it is something that it's really important to for leaders to understand, right? And at least appreciate. It's a sensitive topic still. I remember when I took this on in Federal Highway Administration, I had a colleague question me, "Are you sure you want to take this on as one of your topics?" I'm like, "You bet I'm sure, and I'm going to do it." Like, okay. And just reluctance at the highest levels to even talk about it. So it's real. It's impacting our workforce. And, you know, going back to thinking about leadership is somebody that can use their tools to motivate and inspire others to believe in a vision, help guide people towards success. I mean, how do you do that if you don't understand something like this that's impacting our workforce, right? And not just understand and appreciate, but understand how to deal with it in the workforce. That was one of my greatest challenges. I mean, I had experiences, I won't go into all those stories, in the workplace that, again, thinking about me as an engineer, they don't teach you how to deal with somebody that's bringing issues to work. And it's either impacting them or them and their colleagues, but it's definitely having an impact in the workplace. And I had no idea as a supervisor how to handle it, what I could and couldn't do in the workplace. And so that was one thing I worked on in Federal Highways, is like making sure that the future generation of supervisors and leaders that are coming up are better equipped than I was to deal with it, because it's real and it's going to happen in the future. And so we looked at, you know, available resources to help supervisors, not to become clinicians. That's not what it's about, but it's just, how do you help people who are struggling in the workplace, right? We know how to do it if somebody comes and tells you they broke their leg and right, they need some accommodation for that, but not so good if they come and say, I'm really anxious for whatever reason, or, you know, just a lot of different scenarios there. And so as leaders, you want to be successful. You need to develop this tool. Like it or not, you need to develop this tool.
And it's an absolute, and it's an absolute priority, because we're in a different era. We are no longer stigmatized. In fact, we've got to take care of our people. We've got to look out for our colleagues and ourselves. That's not a, you know, it's not just, oh, I'm going to look out for everybody else, but we have a responsibility to look out for ourselves in this, as in making it a priority for leadership. Does that resonate with you?
Oh, yeah, very much so, because we've already talked about sort of the stress that goes along with being a leader. So regardless, like if you've got the perfect workplace and, you know, there are no issues going on in your workplace that are impacting, you know, your workforce, you yourself are under stress and have to understand, recognize that, and then have some ways to deal with it. That's really important as well.
You know, there's the saying out there, and it's a bit cliche, but I think it's absolutely right on as we approach these kinds of issues. And that is, it is okay to not be okay. Mm-hmm. And that may be today, it could be next week, it could have been last week, but our responsibility as leaders is to bridge the gap and help our colleagues, our employees, to bring, you know, mental health to the forefront and not hide it. We didn't hide the broken leg, as you said, and we shouldn't hide the fact that someone is not okay.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just, I can't say enough about it, but it's such an important topic for leaders today.
You took this on at Federal Highway with thousands of employees, and I know it was important in that mission, and you've carried that to RSNH, and I'm very grateful for you bringing this up and highlighting it as a challenge for us as leaders. How impactful can a mental health wellness program be to a company or to an agency?
Awesome question. And it really remains to be seen, but I can say that anecdotally, establishing a mental health program and a focus within FHWA became the most impactful thing I did as executive director. And when I started, I did not think that that would be my legacy. I thought it might be more about, these crisis situations that I helped the agency through. But hands down, without a doubt, this meant more to people than anything else I did as executive director. Again, not patting myself on the back, but it was so impactful. They've named an award after me that they give out annually now on the topic of mental health. That's just how important it was to the employees. I would have employees emailing me directly, thanking me for taking on this topic, and unbelievable stories, some saying it saved their life, knowing they were not alone, knowing there were places they could go to talk to people and get help, knowing that it was okay at work, that we would figure out how to help them. Just incredible stories and so impactful. But there, I'm an engineer. You like to have performance measures and write and say, what's the impact of the program? We're going to spend a lot of money to set it up. What are we getting for that money? I don't know how to do that. I have not seen anybody come up with those kind of measures. I can say that we had people we were hiring that were coming to us because of the program. They would say it in their interview. We heard about your program. We want to come work for an agency like you, like Federal
And
Highways.
you think about, the mission of our industry is really about saving lives, is about a target zero, so that when everyone leaves and gets on a piece of our infrastructure that we've built, either as an agency or in the private sector, when our employees come to work, we all want them to go home safely. And so safety is, in fact, the number one priority. Likewise, the mental health safety of our individuals, saving lives, whether it be from a mental health situation or from an appropriate design of a highway or a bridge, those are equal in my mind. And that
Exactly.
priority of safety is something that you carry and have carried, but you've
Yeah.
carried it to a new level.
Just thinking about our own firm, right? We have people that are designing bridges and roads every day. We want them focused on their task at hand for that reason, right? We don't want a slip up in the design because they're distracted or not focused because they're carrying something mentally. Just another example, just from a safety perspective, it's so important that we take this on in our workplace.
Well, I appreciate your viewpoint on this, and I appreciate what you did at Federal Highway and what you've brought to RSNH, because you've shined a bright light on mental health, on our responsibility as leaders to do something and not bury it somewhere else or not talk about it, but to bring it right out into the open. It is absolutely one of the most important things a leader can do in the environment that we're operating in today. I want to move and ask you a few questions, some personal questions. I want to tie the first one to this issue of mental health. And I know you, like me and everyone, oftentimes have something that you do to support your own mental health wellness. Could you share that with our listeners?
Yeah, sure. I like to take walks. I like to do woodworking. This might surprise people, but I play the drums. I've been a musician my entire life, and I own an electric drum set, so I like to get there, and that's a great stress relief outlet for me. Or just listening to music. I enjoy music, all kinds of music, and so really important that you find something that relaxes you, and those things work for me.
And that carries your mind to a different place.
Absolutely. Takes you away from whatever it is that's, eating up your mental capacity at that time.
And so as you do this to support your own mental health and wellness, how do you translate that when you're at the office? So let's say, you're in a situation, you're a little stressed out. I know you might be able to go in the other room and play drums, but if you're on the road, what is it that you're doing in the heat of the moment, if you will?
Yeah, and that's where I would typically do the walking or music, right? There are two things that I've called upon in travel to help me out, or even just to get on the treadmill if you can't get out and get some fresh air and take a walk. But find something like that and do it, while you're walking or while you're on travel.
Well, thanks for sharing that. And I appreciate that. And our listeners have whatever it is for them that will give them a
Right.
break and give them that respite and take their mind off of what is stressing or causing them to be anxious. We all need that. And we all have our own uniqueness when it comes to those measures that support our mental health awareness. I personally like to support when someone needs a break and just take that break, do what you need. We'll come back to the issue at hand. And I think it's also that recognition, and in fact, that acknowledgement that maybe now's a time for all of us to take 10 minutes, do whatever works for you, and then come back refreshed.
Yep. I mean, timeouts worked well for my kids when we were
I
raising. I
love
think
it.
they work well for adults too.
So let's finish up with this episode of AEC Perspectives by a few rapid-fire questions. What movie, book, or TV show changed your life or had a major impact on you?
I'm not one that would look to something like a movie, a book, or television, certainly, to say it changed my life. I mean, it's interesting. I've never been a real big fan of leadership books. I tend to think that that's just people making money off writing down what's pretty obvious. But I think I did have a favorite. It's called Multipliers, by Liz Wiseman. Someone recommended it to me, and so I've read it and enjoyed it and related to it, and I've talked about that. But then, even going back to one I read many, many years ago, and I bet a lot of people have read it too, it's the All I Really Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten.
Yes.
What a great leadership book. And I go back to that every once in a while. It's a very easy read, very basic, but it helps you recalibrate what's important and how to look at some things. So there are two books that I look at, but I honestly, the things that shape my life, change my life, I look to my parents, great influences. My father was an engineer, and just I learned so much about what it means to be a professional from him, that I point to that. My mother, a cancer survivor, what a fighter. I mean, I've learned so much from her, and kind of changed the way I look at things now after watching her go through what she went through. I had a pretty serious health issue when I was in high school. I think going through that at such a young age also changed my life, and certainly the way I look at things. And becoming a husband, a father, and now a grandfather, every one of those things has changed my life for the better. And we've already talked about I-35W, which was probably career-wise the one thing that really changed my career for forever.
Well, we are absolutely thrilled to have you at RSNH, taking your vast industry experience, your thought leadership around not only just leadership characteristics, but mental health here at the firm. And, RSNH has a brand and an essence that we call Driven to Care. You've now been at RSNH. You've had the full view of your career. What does RSNH's driven to care essence mean to you?
It's the culture thing that I mentioned earlier, and it says to me that we're a company that truly believes in caring for our employees as well as our clients and the quality of the work we do for them. We really care about those things, and it's more than just a fancy slogan. From what I've seen in my time with RSNH, it's something that's really proven itself in more than just words. It is the culture of the company. And it's one that resonates with me because of what we've just talked about, the importance of mental health as one thing, but just caring for our employees.
Tom, it's abundantly clear to me, and I know it will be to our listeners, that you are driven to care. You embody the essence of RSNH. I am so pleased to have you on this episode of AEC Perspectives. You've been a great guest, and you're a great colleague, and thank you for sharing so much for our listeners.
Thank you, Brian. A real pleasure to be here.
Thank you for listening to this episode of AEC Perspectives. Follow or subscribe to AEC Perspectives wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And remember, at RSNH, we are driven to care.